cry. Unless thou help me, I must die. Oh, bring thy free salvation nigh, and take me as I am. And take me as I am. And take me as I am. My only plea, Christ died for me. Oh, take me as I am.
Helpless I am and full of guilt, but yet for me thy blood was spilt, and thou canst make me what thy will, and take me as I am.
And take me as I am. And take me as I am. My only plea, Christ died for me. Oh, take me as I am.
No preparation can I make. My best resolve I only break. Yet save me for thy only sake, and take me as I am.
And take me as I am. And take me as I am. My only plea, Christ died for me. Oh, take me as I am.
Behold me, Savior, at thy feet. Deal with me as thy seest me. Thy work begins, thy work complete. And take me as I am.
And take me as I am. And take me as I am. My only plea, Christ died for me. Oh, take me as I am.
And take
me as I am. And take me as I am. My only plea, Christ died for me. Oh, take me as I am.
So, Lord, we ask you to speak with us. We ask, Lord, that you come among us in a way that we can understand you, in a way that we can touch you. Please come to us. Speak very simply to us. Speak in a way in our own language to the glory and to the praise of your name. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Thank you for coming. Our pastor, thank you very much. The Lord bless you. And all the elders and our pastors that are here, our associate pastor, thank you for the fellowship and the opportunity we have had to be together for these past few days. Thank you. I have felt at home again. I said, I have been here and I always feel at home. And thank you very much. May the Lord continue to increase his work in our midst in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, this night, you know, we have been pushing one matter. Let the seeking of the Lord begin with me. We did say that when the Lord says, seek me, seek my face, the psalmist said, your face I will seek. Whenever God says, if you seek me, you'll find me, someone has to respond. Someone has to say, yes, Lord, your face I will seek. And wherever any man takes it upon himself to personally pursue God, they were never disappointed. And so this evening, in conclusion and yet in continuation of what God is dealing with us, we will now begin to look at means of seeking the Lord for yourself. Means, what has God provided by which we can grow in our personal pursuit of God? What are the simple means that God has provided that if we work on it again, if we pursue it, it will land us where it landed our elders. It will draw us to the bosom of the Almighty as all the men of old who had experienced God have experienced. And so tonight, I will now begin to look at what are the means that God has provided for us to seek Him personally and to develop an intimate communion, an intimate fellowship with the Lord. And we would like to pick what we could have been looking at in the course of this revival services. The text that was put in our anvil, Acts chapter 2. Now, I had pushed it until now simply because what we saw in Acts chapter 2 was only a response to what men who are seeking God did in the quiet place. The result, the manifestation, the outcome of people who sought the Lord privately, personally in their lives, the outburst, we saw it. So I'm going to talk about them as much as we can this afternoon, and I will yet be ending by laying a matter before you. Because seeking the Lord, let me say to you, is not just an event. It's a lifelong experience. Seeking the Lord, it may begin at one point, but for all those who ever walk with God, it's a continuous experience. It's a progressive experience. It's a growing experience. So we are going to read two passages this evening. We are going to read them concurrently as much as we can. One will be an illustration of a man who sought the Lord and found the Lord and had a testimony that he walked with God. The other are the things that men who encounter God, what they did in continuation of their pursuit of the Lord. So you will let me ask you to take your Bibles, and we're reading Acts chapter 2 from verse 37 to 47 this afternoon. Now, when they heard this, they were caught to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Verse 42. And they, those that were affected, those that repented, those that were now baptized, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. May the Lord bless his word, and may the Lord in his mercy grant us an experience of a divine visitation that will culminate into daily increase in our lives, daily increase in our fellowship, daily increase in our experience of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Before I will come back, let's now read Hebrews chapter 11 very quickly. Hebrews 11, I'll just take only one man. There are many men in Hebrews, but I just intend to read about one man. And then that will be the concluding illustration for what we want to do in the course of this night. And as we will draw issues to conclude the revival service, we now trust God that he will launch us into revival. Hallelujah. God from now will launch us into an unending revival. Each one of you will experience a revival in your spirit, in your walk with God, that will never end again. That's the purpose that God has declared for this meeting. The Lord will help us. Now, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who do what? Diligently seek him. That's where we are going to be ending our discussion and our study in this meeting. It was very touching to me that when we say the Lord diligently, and there were reward that God gave them. And this brother is one. And I'm going to be ending our story with his own story, trusting God to help us in the name of Jesus Christ. But now, let us first examine what normally happens when men begin to seek God. And in the Acts passage that we have read, that was a very graphic story of what the Holy Spirit came down to do when heavens were opened. And any time you are looking for what is the practical manifestation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Whenever you want to describe that the Spirit of God came down in any place, Acts chapter 2 gives us a model. And though he rose again, but the people have denied it. The policemen have been beat. The policemen have been bribed that they should not tell the truth that Jesus rose, but that his disciples came and stole him by night while they were sleeping, and they were now making noise that he rose. He didn't write anything. And the Bible said that was the report that was going everywhere. So you now see the little party that Jesus left behind. Just 120 of them. And there was none of them that was so highly educated as to be able to have any kind of academic muscle to go and confront the Sanhedrin Council in any argument. The best of them was a fisherman, whom they said was unlearned. And these men and women that were with them were the people that Jesus said, I send you as my Father sent me to the world. But don't go until you be endued with power from on high. So you can understand what I'm talking about now. These are very feeble men and women, people of no pedigree, so to say. They had no backbone. There's no big man among them. Even people like Nicodemus, they have been stripped of their position in the Sanhedrin Council because they did not deny Jesus. So, and imagine the council, the Senate that took decision and crucified Jesus, and they were still waxing strong. These are people that could bribe their way through anywhere. They told the soldier men, say, keep your mouth shut. Go and tell them that you were sleeping. How can you tell a soldier man who was on duty to go and say he was sleeping? They said, if anybody queries you, we will secure you. We will talk to the governor. There's nothing that will come out of it. Go and tell a lie. So the disciples knew if they don't have power, they are finished. You know, sometimes you want to seek God, but you are not desperate. Sometimes we say, let's seek God, but you have plan B. The reason why some of us are not very, very fervent, diligent, is that it is not a do or die for us. We have alternatives. Those who have alternative to God, they don't seek God. Are you hearing me? Those who have alternative to the power of God, they don't seek God. They may attend church for attendance, but they know where they are going. We may say, let us pray. They will just pray as if they are just doing something to show. But they know where they are going to be crying because they have alternative. All those that will seek God, you will see all the time, he said, if you seek me, how? With all your heart. Not with half of your heart. The reason is because you can't find God when he is not the only one you are looking for. God will not allow you to find him when 90% of your heart is what you are looking to find him, but 10% is somewhere else. God will not reveal himself to someone and say, well, let's pray. Let's pray. If God answers, okay. If he doesn't, I know what I will do. Those of you that have another plan, plan B, and say, in case God fails, I know where I'm going. God never bothers to let you find him. You know why? He said, I am the Lord. I tolerate no rivals. If it is, it must be him and him alone. If you are going to see God and see his power in your life, it's because you have left all else and you have finished with every other arrangement. And you have come now to your last bus stop and say, Father, without you, I can do nothing. If you don't help me, there's nowhere to go. I have done all I know how to do. If you don't rise for me, I am finished. When any man comes to that position, I'm telling you, heaven will open. Heaven will open. Now, the disciples, before the day of Pentecost, they came to the end of the world. They came to the end of everything. Can I tell you, they have left their businesses. They have burnt their bridges. Some of them were so sorrowful when they saw that Jesus was going. They said, but we are taught that this man is one that we establish the kingdom of God. My mother even said, when he gets to his kingdom, I should sit on his left, I should sit on the right. You remember the mothers of Zebedee? Eh? Aha. When it turned out that he was going to be crucified and that he was going away, you can imagine how all of them. And then the question, where do we return to? Where do we return to? What do we do now? Even Peter tried to return. Do you remember Peter? One day like this, after Jesus had now left, Peter looked at everyone and said, me, I'm going to fish you. If you don't know where to go forward, you should know where you are coming from. Let me go back to the riverside. It was painful that Peter, who has walked on water with Jesus, he could come to a position and say, yeah, I'm going back. I'm going back to my fishing. I don't know what to do now. Unfortunately, and fortunately also, they went. Maybe if they had caught fish, they would have thought that it's okay, let me just continue fishing. But that day, all night, are you hearing me? They tried, they did not even catch toad. They caught nothing. When Jesus Christ in the morning came, because he was looking for them, said, where are these men that I left behind? They have left. They have gone back. He had to come back. And he found them by the riverside. He asked, children, have you anything to eat? What was the answer? Nothing, sir. No, sir. We have been here since yesterday night. Peter dragged us here. We have been doing everything we know how to do. Nothing. Not even a little thing to put in our stomach. They didn't know it was Jesus. They have, you know, their vision of Jesus had been completely blurred. They just forgot. By the time Jesus looked at them, he said, all right. He decided to cook for them that morning. Hi, my Lord Jesus. He put stick together and put fire and got fish. You don't ask me where he got fish. He knows how to get fish where there is no fish. Where you find nothing, he has a way of bringing to existence what was not there. He laid fish, roasted fish, then he called them. Children, come and eat. Come and eat. Come and eat. By the time he was asking them to come and eat, then he did one more thing. He said, cast your net on the right side. You have been casting your net on the wrong side all night. Cast it now on the right side. And the Bible said, when they did. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If only Jesus goes with you to whatever you are doing. If only you can wait to collect and connect with Jesus. Your success will have been effortless. Do you know immediately they cast that net, something happened. The Bible said their net enclosed fishes. 153 big, big fishes that they couldn't drag it out. But the net did not break because when God wants to bless you something, he doesn't give your blessing in a basket. They were able to bring the fish. When they were dragging it, Peter, you know, he had removed his dress. He was bare-chested, running up and down everywhere. When they said, John must have said, Peter, is the Lord, oh, is the Lord, oh. The Lord. Peter said, my Lord. He jumped. And then they dragged the fish. So when they now finished food, Jesus now called Peter. Simon, come. Simon, son of Jonah, come. He took him aside and said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? He has not said much when Simon broke down and started crying. We have not finished. Simon, I'm asking you, do you love me? He said, Master, you know I love you. But, in a situation that brought me back here. So when the master now left, now said, don't go until you receive power from on high. Do they have a reason now to seek the Lord with all their heart? I'm asking a question. There was something that will not let them do anything else. Because they now know that if we don't follow this Jesus, if we even go back to our riverside to fish, we'll get nothing. So by the time they began to pray, 10 days they were praying. They listed the people that were praying, including the mother of Jesus, Mary. They were all in that prayer meeting. 10 days, morning, afternoon, night, every blessed day. I don't want to say maybe they're having night vigils, but it's not unlikely they were praying. And the Bible said, for the next 10 days, they were waiting for only one thing. Lord, we want to see your face. Lord, if you don't come down, we are stranded. If you don't help us, we are finished. If you don't show up, oh God, these people will arrest us. They will roast us alive. Oh God, come down. I wish there are desperate prayers in our churches again. I wish people have come to the end of everything and they turn to God, seeking him diligently. You will see a miracle. You will see God showing up. And even as we are here, all those that are very desperate among us, all those that are saying, God, I will not let you go unless you bless me, unless you change my story, they will have a story to tell. God never allows people to seek him in vain. After this meeting, Baba, you will have your testimonies. Amen. People will be coming one after the other. Say, during that meeting, I knew I have to seek God. And God heard my cry. God heard my cry. Anywhere they cry to God like that, it happens. I hope you understand. I hope you remember that that was what changed the story of Hannah. Do you remember Hannah? You know Hannah, the mother of Samuel. I hope you know what happened. She came to the end of everything. Peninnah will never allow her to rest. Peninnah was delivering babies like pig. Hey! And if Mama Hannah wanted to send any of the children to fetch water, I said, no! No! As you have eaten all your own egg, don't kill this one for me. It's not to be fetching water up and down for you. Go and fetch your water. We don't know why you have to be fetching water. I know you have not settled a problem. You are a witch. Hannah. So this next time they went to church, they went to Shiloh. Hannah said to her husband, when she became desperate, she told her husband, I'm not following you back until God solved my problem. Church service finished. I hope you remember. And everybody was going. Where was Hannah? Hannah went and held, I don't know why, how their own altar was that time. But they used to put a horn around the altar, something you can hook. That's how this woman came and hooked herself by the altar. Everybody left. Nobody could distract her. She was so consumed that she did not hear anybody's noise. When you seek me diligently, you will do what? You will find me. So can you imagine? She was lost in prayer. People left. Elkanah was going by himself, go. Until God answers me, I'm not coming home. Then the sexton of the church and the priest, it was time to lock the sanctuary. And they were looking for maybe there's anything inside the hall so that we can be sure that nobody forget anything. There was a woman that had been forgotten at the altar. When they came, they said, hey, what are you doing there? They quickly went and called Eli, the chief priest. They said, so, there's a woman here. We shouted, she never moved. We said, we are closing the door. He said, close it. We don't know what's wrong with her, whether she's drunk. Come and help us. When the high priest came, Eli said, how long will you be in your drunkenness? We have closed your service. You are still drunken. It was then Hannah said, sir, I am not drunk. But you can say I'm drunk. I'm drunk with sorrow. I'm drunk with a matter that I cannot leave God until he answers me. I am overwhelmed. She prayed to a level where her voice was lost. So the Bible only said her lips was doing what? Was moving. Nobody heard her voice. I know when you come to a place like that, when you want to talk, there is no word again. You can only be there. And I say, we don't know what's wrong with this woman now. She's not, we don't hear what she's saying. When Eli came, Eli said, how long will you be drunk? He said, I'm not drunk, sir. I'm not drunk. There's a matter me and God were settling. And I will not go unless he answer me. When the priest noticed that she was genuine and that she was pleading with God for something, then the man said, may the Lord answer the cry of your heart. God of Israel, to whom you came to hook like this, you have hooked God. He will do something for you. When that declaration came, The Bible says she went home and she was no more sad. She has got an answer. God will give you answers. But the condition that God had kept saying since we started, if you seek me, how? With all your heart. When you seek me diligently. And we are reading the Acts of Apostles, and we saw that we are meeting a bunch of people who were desperately looking for the power of God in their lives. So when the day of Pentecost came, and the Holy Ghost came down, and the rushing mighty wind came. But you know one thing that always touched my heart, I won't say it baffles me, because now I have known that that's how God works. Are you hearing me? When they say a mighty rushing wind was coming all the way from heaven, you know, if it's a mighty rushing wind that is making big bang, 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 I expected that it would be uprooting trees. I expected that anybody who is on the road, you would just knock them down. But no. No. This rushing mighty wind has an address to go. Did you hear me? It has a place it was going. Where was he going? He was going to where they were seeking for him. Oh my God, are you hearing me? This house where they were staying is not one house in the bush. It's not a house in the wilderness. It's a house in the midst of many houses. Imagine we are passing here now. See many, many houses, different roofs. Are you getting me? Now, people are praying in one of the houses. When the wind was coming, shaking everywhere, beating everywhere, he jumped this house. He jumped this house. He jumped the house behind. He did not go to the house opposite because they were not seeking for him there. Where did the wind go? He went to that house where they were looking for him. And the Bible said it appeared to them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And a cloven tongue of fire settled on each one of them. And they began to speak in tongues. And there was a great noise, so that people everywhere were running interested. What has happened? What has happened? What is happening in that house? Fire has come down. But not ordinary fire. The fire of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so, when this was noise abroad, in verse 5, verse 6, when this sound occurred, the multitude came together. They were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. But if the story stopped there, they would have just said some people were making noise. And that is what bothers me, that many times, some of us, when we have received the Holy Spirit, I don't say when we claim to, I'll just say when we have received the Holy Spirit, our own ended where? In empty noise. It finished with noise. But God never comes to a man who is seeking him, and it will end in an empty noise. And our revival service here, if we have been seeking his face, it cannot end in an ordinary noise. There will be a result. There will be a measurable result. There will be an increase. And as this brother stood up, theologians will have looked at the message he preached that day. They will have said that is extemporaneous. They will have said he was just speaking off course, because he never prepared to preach. The Holy Ghost took over. The Holy Spirit took them. And by the time he spoke, I was wondering where the scriptures were flowing. He was just moving from one passage to another, from Psalm to Deuteronomy, everywhere. He landed in Joel. He went here. He went there. I say, my God, when the Holy Ghost comes, when the anointing falls on a man's life, and I think our pastor, you have been leading us to ask God for the Holy Ghost, for the outpouring of the Spirit upon our lives, upon our congregation. God is ready. He is going to begin this thing, and it will never stop again. Please, Equa, take note. God said, I will visit you.
Amen.
Right there and then, verse 37 now happened. Something began to happen, even to the crowd that gathered. And something that became a matter to look at this night. The Bible said, when they heard this, when the word of God pierced through, they were pricked in their hearts. They were caught to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I saw that when men seek God with all their heart, something that you cannot ignore takes place. When a man becomes desperate to seek God until something will happen to him, I want to tell you, what God does not only happen for 3 months, it will be there for years. By the grace of God, some of us, in our pursuit of God, in our seeking God, several years ago, we came to this point. I knew when I met Christ and the crisis that arose in our house. I knew what it was. Because the whole of our house, they worship idol. My father himself is a priest. And he's a professional, continuous practicing herbalist. And you dare not dare him. They feared him from everywhere. Now I met Jesus. And the first thing I had to do when I met Jesus was to go and destroy all the charms. The one they were putting under me, the one inside my pint, the one here, the one in front of my room, all of that, I'm going to destroy it. I saw fire. Power of darkness. I said, what? What came to your head? So I knew that if I don't have power, I'm in trouble. You see, when you are not desperate, your seeking God may not carry any weight. When I knew now that I have now entered into a serious matter, when I go somewhere, I'm preaching my own preaching. And as I'm preaching, because as a young convert, you want to tell everybody, people will look at me there, they say, is that not a Akanis boy? Before I get home, all the herbalists, all the Oshurungas in the community, they have already arrived home. They said, warn your son. It's because we know he's your child, Omawoni. That's why we have no debt with him. The thing that is coming out of his mouth is bigger than him. Warn him. As I will be arriving, I thought that I've gone for a meeting and my father does not know where I've gone. By the time I'm arriving, Baba will say, welcome. You went and said this, he said this, he said this, he said this. Your report has come. And if not that, I begged those Oshurungas. We don't know what we should have been saying now. Even pastors dare not say what you are saying. Don't you see pastors coming here to collect power? And I was part of the people that used to pound concussion for pastors. When they want to collect power, they don't come at 7 a.m., 9 a.m. They come 7 p.m. And they will wear very big Baban Riga like this, so that the pot that we have prepared for them, they will put it under, they will do it like this. You will think that they are just, you know, there's something there. And my father was so annoyed. Why will you leave power to go and follow useless things like that? I said, no, I'm not following useless things. I'm following Jesus. Say, with Jesus. Jesus that could not help their people. If I see you gone with that thing, you are in trouble. But I could not refuse. I could not stop following Jesus. You did not need to teach me how to pray all night. Necessity has come on me. I have to pray all night. You don't need to ask me to wake up. I have to wake up. By 4 a.m., when Baba is going to call his demons, I say, hey, they must not mention my name before this demon, before I wake up. So by the time I hear him moving, you know, I jump up in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I need power. I beg you, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. We will find God. You will find his glory. God will not leave you. You will not be stranded. If you seek me with all your heart. One night was serious. What was serious about that night? I have been telling them of Jesus. I've been telling them my Jesus has power. And that my Jesus can save. He can heal. Then one of my nieces fell off and was knocked down and was dying. 2 a.m. They came and knocked on me. Come and carry this girl to hospital. 2 a.m. No taxi. The whole place dark. I said, excuse me. There are only one alternative tonight. We either lose this girl before we get to the hospital. I don't know how we get to whether we are going to trek and it's far away. Or you will allow me to carry her to my Jesus. There's power now. Power versus power. They said, if this girl should die in your hand, say you are calling Jesus, you will see. I say, well, why don't you try my Jesus first? If he fails, then we will know what to do. He said, but it would have been too late. The girl will have died. I said, he will not die. Ah. When they say, okay, go and try your Jesus. If you say, you know, you cannot find a means of going to hospital. I say, Jesus is closer here than going to hospital. If I get to hospital, something may have happened. But if I kneel down here now, Jesus is coming here. So it was an open challenge. You cannot describe how I prayed that night. When I put the girl on my bed, I remember how Elijah was moving around the house, moving up and down. I was moving. I was shouting. I was crying. I was foaming at the same time. Oh God, oh God, oh God, do something, do something. Don't let this girl die. Don't let people ridicule your name. Come down, oh God, show your face, show your face, show your face. Could you cry to God desperately and God will not answer? Especially when the opposition is waiting to score a point. So as I was praying, the Lord said, I'm touching the girl now. She's going to be all right. I say, amen, amen. They say, what is it? As she open up, as she come back. Few minutes after, the girl turned and opened her eyes and said, water, water, water. She was thirsty. By the time we are getting water, we got more than water. We got Omieko. Do you know Omieko? You don't know Omieko. When you make pap, that akam, and you now dilute it until it becomes watery. Are you understanding? It's even more watery than the Obiolo of Igala. Are you understanding that now? So it became so watery, just so that there'll be something that the stomach will hook. That's how in another 2 hours the girl was standing up, playing about. Huh. Then they were looking at me. They were looking at the girl. They say, so Geshu can walk. They don't know how to call Jesus. They call him Geshu. So you mean your Geshu has walked? I say he has walked. Amen. Amen. Yes. Praise God. So when we seek him with all our heart, God said, I will be found of you. So I saw that Acts chapter 2 that brought Pentecost was in answer to this desperate seeking of people that have no alternative. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost on their lives was in answer to those who were seeking God without any alternative. You cannot seek God when you have nowhere else to go and he will not answer you. God will answer you. God will do much more than you can even imagine when he comes to answer you. And I remember when I finished that morning, I said, Jesus, so that these people will know that it is you who did it. This girl must never have cholera again throughout all her life. And I'm telling you, until today, anything else may happen, but that lady never has that anymore. She has lived in health. And they say, hey, this is your Jesus. So when I'm coming back from all my meetings now, they say, welcome. Pray for us there. Thank God. So when I saw what happened on the day of Pentecost, I knew God can do it again. If there be people among us who are tired of every other alternative, who are tired of empty talk, who are saying, Lord, it is your face we have come to seek. This call of God you put on our life, we can't run it anyhow. Send us your power. God will never fail to answer us. Hallelujah. So the Bible said, thousands were shouting, what shall we do? What shall we do? What shall we do? And Peter stood up and said, repent, every one of you. Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And as he made that call, the Bible said, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, how many people? 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 souls. Pastor, if you were to baptize 3,000 people in a day, you know the trouble. So they all have to share the work. They were sharing the work. The Holy Ghost has come. And the word of God began to multiply. So now I just want to read what was their response. Because God came to them. Because they were now brought into a revival experience. Their lives have now been affected. Let us see what happened. What did they do to perpetuate their experience? To perpetuate their move, the move of God in their lives. Once I finish that, I will now go and take that single man and tell a little of his own story and experience, and then ask you to let us key in. Let us take a decision ourselves. Let us pray together. Let us seek the Lord while he may be found. Then the Bible said, then those who gladly receive his word, verse 41, were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to the Lord. Now, that would have been wonderful. But something much more wonderful is what I now want to read from verse 42. And they did what? Continued steadfastly. Now, you know, God many times could move in a place like this. God could manifest himself and his power. He may touch you. He may do something in your life. But why does he not continue? Why do we have intermittent revival services that never became a continuous revival? Why does he end? The secret that perpetuated the move of God in the Acts of Apostles is what we are seeing with them here. They continued fastly. They continued steadfast, which means what God did in their lives, they never want to lose it. They wanted to hold it. Something has happened to us, we don't want it to go. Thank God for this meeting that God has brought. See how we have come. If it becomes a revival, look at what happened to them. They continued steadfastly in the apostles. Are you hearing me? Bible study comes where we will see the mark of revival, a sign of genuine encounter. Is that the people that were so affected, they become hungry for the word of God. You know, it pains me that when people give their life to Christ, you are going to be looking for them. It's not like that. When it is a genuine move of God, they are the ones who will do what? They will be looking for you. They will be saying, excuse me, when are we having meeting again? Can I come tomorrow morning? Can I come in the morning? I want to know how to pray. How can I pray? That is what happens. They stood steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. How beautiful it will be that when we finish this meeting, the next Bible study becomes as full as we are sitting here. Then you will know that God has started doing a deep work. If it does not manifest in hunger for the word of God, it is not yet real. But when I saw God moving, if they said 6 a.m., we were there. If they say we must come 3 times in a day, we were there. What was making it? Hunger for God. I'm not asking that we will arbitrarily increase church programs. But if this fire breaks forth as we have been praying, you will see that something will happen. Men will be hungry You will see them house to house. They say, that's Bible study that we started. You have not continued with me. They will come. Number two, they were steadfastly continuing in fellowship. May I share with you that there is a great difference between church meeting and fellowship. Fellowship is a sharing of the heart. Fellowship is a bonding together with people. Fellowship is where the love of Christ is expressed in the midst of the brethren. Are you hearing me? Fellowship is that thing that makes you to want to be in the presence of another person. You just want to be with them. You don't want to break again. Because your spirit and their spirit have done what? Have connected. Revival brings deep fellowship. Revival releases a great bond between brothers and sisters, between men, between women, between families. You just see fellowship. And in the early days, when God granted a revival, which we call SU revival, in the late 60s and the early 70s, one thing that was very characteristic of that revival was fellowship. You will see young people just, I don't know how to describe to you, you see that we are on one side of the town here, and the fellowship meeting we are going is 3 kilometers or 4 kilometers or 5 kilometers away. Are you hearing me? And we will carry our Bible. We are trekking. We are trekking. But as you are trekking, you are singing. Try to trek a long distance and be singing. You will not know when you have arrived there. And because we are flocking as a fellowship of people, people are wondering, where are they going? What's happening to these young people? Why are they always singing? Why are they always... Very soon, the whole city began to be affected. Churches were being affected. Of course, we had challenges because of lack of proper training. Some of us went to such extent that became an embarrassment. But it's still all right. It's all right to be zealous, Abi, than to have no zeal. A young man that is zealous, even if you are needing to cut him short a little, is better than the one that is in the fridge. It's better to have life bubbling than to have a dead child around you. God will visit us again. Amen. So the Bible said, and in the breaking of bread, they were excited to always come for communion. They look forward to when they will celebrate the bread and the wine, because it reminded them constantly of the Jesus that died and rose again for them. They were excited. It was not ceremony that time. It was fellowship. It was something that they did spontaneously because of their love for the Savior. And then in prayers, there was prayers. When men begin to seek God, you will see more prayers. Prayers. Prayers in the house prayers, on the farm prayers, on the road prayers, in the car prayers, at the balcony prayers, in the church prayers, in the first tree, you will just see prayers. May the spirit of prayer come upon us again. May God saturate us with the spirit of prayer. Brothers and sisters, I'm excited that if God has said, if you seek me with all your heart, I will be found of you. God doesn't say that for nothing. If you grab what God has said to us in these past 3 days, you will live to tell the story. We are going to celebrate the move of God in your life. We will see it in our fellowships, in the church. The women fellowship, something will change. They say, ah, these women, something has happened to them. The Holy Ghost has come. Hallelujah. Do you know, it is in the midst of this that God does miracles. So then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. God is still doing wonders, so are you understanding? But because men are not thirsty, we have found our own alternatives. So everything is looking dormant. But God is saying, I will visit you again. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know when revival came? There was no lack in the church. There was no lack. The Bible said, all who believed were together and had all things common. Some sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. It's something we cannot describe, but it's revival that brings it. Can you imagine in the days when God began to move, even with people like us, in our ordinary time, you didn't go to fellowship empty-handed. You see, preachers nowadays, they turn the Bible upside down. They said, the Lord said, let nobody come before him empty-handed. They did not read the Bible in this context. The context in which that scripture was written was that whenever you are coming to the sanctuary, you come with something to share with the here now. It dawns on you that, onion is very costly now. And there are some three sisters that may not have eaten onion in their house for the past 3 weeks. Let me just take these three shoots of onion and you put it in leather bag. And as you are coming, how wonderful it is that as we are about finishing fellowship, you say, just spice your soup for today. How did she go home? Eh? Abba! And imagine that everyone that is coming say, how can I go for fellowship empty-handed today? Let me have something at least. Maybe once somebody will need this. And all that came to your hand that you can carry is just one small bathroom slipper. You are saying, in case somebody will have need of it. And as you came, the Lord said, look at that. Look at that young man's leg. Did you see that what is wearing has started? Go and change it for him. And then you come and say, this is your own. How will it be? That will be practical move of God. And as we are doing that, we are sharing, people are singing, dancing. Another one say, don't let anybody know. I just want to squeeze this thing in your hand. It just, it's nothing big. Just 1,000 naira. It's not size of money. It's the fact that somebody loves me and cares. Not nowadays that people come to fellowship, they wear their dark goggles and put their hand in their pocket. And when we are going, they live like that. They have not greeted anybody. And they enter into their car and they are hooting. Pa, 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 pa. Move! Are we going to sleep in church? Something has died. No one of them ever came empty-handed. But nowadays, my pastors that are looking for money. The Lord said, thou shalt not appear before the man of God empty-handed. For your blessing to be blessed today, there's a prophet offering. And as I put my feet here, drop prophet offering here, here. Hey! Men that are greedy, greedy. They twist the Bible. They make it say what it did not intend to say. Can I put it to you? God is saying, I will visit you. Because God who said, I will visit you if you seek me with all your heart, is not a liar. Our Father is not a fake. He's not fickle. What he says he will do is what he does. And so these people, nobody had need. God was meeting their needs. Children's school fees are being paid. Because even the children, they are praying. They say, Dad, we are praying that God will help us. And before you know it, it will occur to somebody and say, hey, we prayed about Cecilia last week. Has anything come for her school? The mother said, we are still waiting. Say, no, I'm sorry. I'm the one who delayed. Because after that prayer, God dropped on my heart that I should bring this towards that girl's school fees. I'm sorry that I waited for another Sunday. Sorry. I hope they did not send her from school. How about that? If you now go and say, Cecilia, you see what God has done? God has answered prayer. As I was just in the fellowship, one mama said, when we prayed for you last week, God told her to have brought this thing. It's on Monday you will have paid your school fees. But look, God has done it. Will that Cecilia grow up to hate God? We are going to pray that this revival service will kick off a revival. That after this night, we will enter into the spirit of revival. That day by day, it will keep increasing. It will keep growing. You will see a new vegetation over the church family. You will see God reconnecting us. The love of God flowing. Young women will no longer be struggling. Because God will be raising elderly women. That say, look, me, I've retired. And sometimes I feel lonely. I need some people to be making noise around me. Bring your babies. When you are going to work, drop them here. You are not needing to pay. You don't need to go and look for all these people that will drug your baby to sleep. How can church be here and there is no relationship? How can we be here and there is no connectivity again? How did we become like this? God, He's saying, I will visit you. And this night, He will visit us again. But let me end by asking you to look at Enoch. Because Enoch was one man that sought God. I will make his story very short because I just want us to take a bearing as we close this meeting this time. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was what? Translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony What was his testimony? That he pleased God. Everybody knew that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So let me help you to look a little into the life of Enoch. Because I want us to move out of this revival service, knowing that we also, we can seek God. We also, hallelujah, we can connect God and we can experience God. And it can be a continuous experience in our lives, in our home, in our family, in our schools, in your work, in your marriage. This meeting is not just a meeting. It's going to start you forth in a move of revival in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, when did he begin to seek God? The story of Enoch was told in Genesis chapter 5. Not very long, but so deep. Look at what they said about Enoch in that chapter 5. I just want you to see one picture so that if you are the one sitting here tonight and God is asking you, seek me with all your heart, seek me diligently, I'll be found of. I have a plan for you. My plan for you is to give you an outcome that is better. I have a future that I'm planning for you. Seek me, you will find me. Enoch, according to what we are reading in the scripture, his father was called Mr. Jared in Genesis chapter 5 verse 18. And Jared lived 162 years and he begat Enoch. But why did I think that was a problem in the family of Enoch? It's because if you look a little behind, Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahali. That's verse 12. And in verse 15, and Mahali lived 65 years and begat Jared. Are you seeing the trend? Eh? Now, somebody 90, another one 70, another one 65, another one 62. You know, you expected that they are beginning to have their baby early. Am I right? But now you come to verse 18. Jared lived 162 years. He had not got a child. So, in your mind, was there a problem in the house of Brother Enoch? Eh? Which means there was a kind of delayed childbirth. And Enoch was a child born in old age, 162 years before his father could have a baby. So you can imagine as soon as he was born, they cry, don't let my case be like my father. Don't let my case be like my father. At least my own grandfather had a baby at 62. Lord, don't let me, I don't know, I can't live 162 years before I have a child. There was a cry. There was a prayer. So in verse 21, look at the Bible. And Enoch lived 65 years. Did God answer prayer? Yes. Eh? Something was different. Change. You say, thank God. Then something happened to Enoch. After he begat Methuselah. In verse 22, and Enoch did what? Walked with God. When? After he begat Methuselah. When they used the word after, that meant before then, it was not too serious. Am I right? You know, there are people here that it is because God answered your prayer for your baby. That's when you became dedicated to God. There are others, it was when they got admission after many years. I said, okay, I will dedicate myself to Christ. There are others, it was when something happened or the other that they could not hide again and they came. So for Enoch, I perceive that after the birth of his son Methuselah, what happened to him? He was converted. He walked with God. Why am I raising that issue? There are people who cannot trace when they began to walk with God. There are people who say, I was born in church. My father was a deacon. My mother was a deaconess. My senior uncle was this. I can't remember when I started going to church. In fact, I was born in church. They put my head inside church. So you ask him, have you met Christ? He said, Christ has always met me since I was born. In fact, inside my mother's womb, Christ has been there. I don't need to meet that Christ again. Has that person become born again yet? If all that you are banking upon is family history, and you cannot tell when Christ came into your life, then your walk with God will be wobbly because it has no beginning. Enoch began to walk with God after the birth of Methuselah. 65 years he was when he said, now I must give my life to the Lord. I must become a Christian. I must follow God in my life. Something must happen. In case, as we are talking, you cannot pinpoint when the Lord stepped into your life, this meeting could be one of that. Tonight could be that opportunity. Praise the Lord. I was doing evangelism one day, and I found myself, I just ran to one man's house. He sat in front of his house with his goggle like this, reading newspaper. The Lord said, go and meet him. I said, no, this is an important man. If I say, is he born again, he may be offended. I said, go and ask him. To my surprise, when I branched, good evening, sir. God bless you. I just thought I should have a little chat with you. I guess you're a Christian. I said, how can you be asking whether I'm a Christian or not? I've been a Christian. As you see me here, I was a deacon. I was deaconed in our church, 1962. And I was the chairman of the elders board for many years. When he finished all of that, God said, but you have not asked him the question I asked you to ask him. Sir, are you born again? You know what the man said? I'm baptized. I told you that I'm baptized in 1962. And I was one of those who organized churches up and down. How can you say whether I'm born again or not? What do you mean by that? Don't talk to me like that. I was about to shiver. The Lord said, the fact that he is arguing, the fact that he did not say, praise God, actually, let me tell you when I gave my life to Christ. The fact that he was arguing, it means there's nothing there. I said, sir, actually, this question I'm asking you It may look insulting, but that's how Jesus had to talk to Nicodemus. And you know, Nicodemus is one of the elders in the Sanhedrin council. He said, yes, yes, yes. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, unless a man be born again, he cannot. So when I started digging, he said, so what do you mean by that? I said, I'm baptized. I'm a deacon. And you say, born again, what do you mean? So I said, Lord, what do I do next? Then a scripture came and said, that which is born of God does not continue to sin, because he's born of God. Whosoever has committed sin is of the devil. Excuse me, sir. According to this scripture, will you say you are born again? Then the man began to say, well, if it's like that, it's like that. But do you think anybody can be free from sin? I said, that's what the Bible says, sir. And that when you are committing sin, it's of the devil. I quickly followed you with Bible passages. We went to John chapter 8. We went here. The long and short, the man said, to be truth and to tell you the truth, as I'm sitting here, my wife does not know, I'm a terrible womanizer. No skirt and blouse passes and I don't catch them. But in our church, nobody asks whether you are born again or not. So what must I do? I said, you will repent. And to my surprise, the man knelt down by his chair and we prayed. And Christ came into his life. And then the hunger for the word of God came on him. He said, Mr. Akane, don't stop. If I'd met you many years ago, my life would have been better. I have many problems. Some of it, I don't know how to solve it. But it was this matter I told you about. Can I tell my wife that I have met Jesus and I have to tell her all that I have done? I say, will Mama be able to handle it? Say, well, if she doesn't handle it, supposing I died, she would think I go to heaven. I would have gone to hell. And they would be singing that I went to heaven. Let me tell her the truth. The evening when that Baba called his wife and started telling her all the catalog of women he had been sleeping with up and down. Mama said, I used to feel it. But you cover it so much that I could not even know. Mama was weeping. They sent for me. I sat in their midst. And then we prayed. And then they began to come to fellowship. Anytime that man would stand up to speak, he said, in 1962, I bathed. I'm not the one who told him to change his language. He's now telling story. He said, but it was so date. This afternoon, blessed afternoon, when Jesus came into my life. That's when I started the Christian journey. I've been a religious man, but now I'm a Christian. Friends, Enoch had a beginning that could not be mistaken. When they say, when are you born again? Enoch will say, in the year that Methuselah, our son, was born. In fact, after he was born, God confronted me. I could not deny. I gave my life to him. That's when I started. Let me ask you, when did you start walking with God? When? When will you say Jesus actually came into your life? When will you say sin has stopped and you are now walking with God? If we don't have that beginning point, where is our bearing? How will you run when every day heaven is saying, but you have not started? You have not made it right with God. You are wishing, but only one step you need to take. Come and let me change your life. A new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away from you the heart of stone. When Enoch met God, now let's see what now took place with him. Because that was why Hebrews talked about him. The Bible said, and Enoch, what did he do? Enoch walked with God after he began Methuselah. 300 years. 300 years of no breaking again. No more punctuation in his life. I have met several brothers. Even if they say they gave their life to Christ, their story is like this. When I was in secondary school, I remember one FCS evening when one brother like this came and preached. I raised my hand and gave my life to Christ. And I was there for about 3 months. Then my girlfriend came from Lagos. And I could not resist. That's how we prayed for them to get married. As soon as they got married, he said, bro, you are not coming for Bible. He said, I'm married. You know, I'm a married man now. Coming for choir, you know, it takes fire, you know, it takes time. Now I am married. And I am married. How can marriage stop your walk with God? Did God give you a wife to kill you? But I found so many that because they got married, we don't see them again. Or when they got married, it is the wife that is now coming. We say, where is your husband? I say, my husband is sleeping. Are you in this meeting? Let it not be God's blessing that disconnected you with God. We pray for you to have children. And God bless you with children. But since you have children, we hardly see you again. You have left your space. And when they say, why? He say, we have children. And you know, those of you that have no children, and that's why, but we have children. So do you want me to change prayer and say, Father, for this man not to miss heaven, take off all his children so that he will come back empty-handed to cry to you. Would you like that kind of prayer? You say, no, God. Let God keep the children. Let God keep the children. Let God keep the children. And then you want God to go away. Whatever is the reason, it didn't affect Enoch. Enoch walked with God 300 years. And for you to know, say, all the days of Enoch were how many years? 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. This was the end in chapter 5 of Genesis. God took him. But in Genesis chapter 5, nobody was there to give us total explanation of what happened to Enoch. It was the book of Hebrews that now gave us the secret of his life. What was the secret of his life? They said, because by faith, Enoch walked with God. And by that faith, he was translated. That he should not see death. And was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So Enoch had a testimony. He had a testimony in the community. He had a testimony among the drunkards, among the wicked people of his generation. And I was there. Where did he get testimony? Did he preach? When you go to the book of Jude, you hear that Enoch preached. He was preaching the second coming of the Lord. He was pointing to his colleagues and said, The Lord is coming with 10,000 of his saints to judge the ungodly. He was a preacher. So when we say Enoch was taken away, he was translated, I realized that he was walking with God. He was seeking God. He was praying. He was looking for God. And the conclusion of his life, he said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. A rewarder. I don't know how to stop here, but Enoch knew that if I seek God diligently, God will reward me. And God rewarded him. And up to today, I'm talking to you, God still rewards those who seek him. We are going to stop here, but the prayer we are going to pray tonight, because this is our final night of sitting together like this, but it's a beginning of a revival that will break forth in the church. It's a beginning of an outpouring of the spirit of prayer, the spirit of fellowship, the spirit of hunger for the word of God, and the spirit of obedience that God is going to release. God is going to rekindle our zeal. We have met only for 3 days. Let me say, just 3 times. But that is enough for God to spark a fire. It is the spark of that fire of revival that I will be hearing about by the grace of God. Our church will never remain the same again. Because the Lord who said, if you seek me, I will be found of you. Because my plans for you is not ordinary. So as we go to God tonight to pray, I have shown you when the Holy Ghost came. He came because they were seeking him diligently. And I've seen now how Enoch was able to walk with God for 300 years. And God could take him away because he believed that God is a rewarder of those who diligently, not casually, not intermittently, diligently, who seek him with all their heart, who say, God, I have nowhere else to go. I have no other person to call. You are my God. I have no plan B. You are the only plan I have. You are my only help. My help comes from nowhere else. Oh God, it's you I will seek. If we will pray tonight, and perhaps as we have been coming and going, the Spirit of God kept nudging on your heart and said, you know, this week, these 2 days of meeting, do you know it's all for you? It's because I want to fulfill my plan concerning you. I have a plan for you. There's a future that I'm planning for you that you don't know. I alone know it. But all I want you to do, just seek my face. Diligently look for me. You will see my glory in the land of the living. As we go to God in prayer, as we speak to him tonight, as we cry from our heart, as you release the passion you have, say, God, while others are giving testimonies, give me my own story. Give me my testimony. Do something new with me. Do something permanent. Something that will ever increase and ever grow with me. As we stop at this point, I will request that you will take a good position of prayer. Other times I'll say stand up. But if you want to kneel down this night, you are free to so do. If you want to stand up while we are calling on God, you are free to so do. And if it is just convenient that you should just walk around and say, God, I will not let you go. If you need to hold your chair and say, oh God, this meeting has come to this point and I cannot let you go, you must help me. Perhaps you have known so much dryness. You want to have a breakthrough, but you are always having a breakdown. And you sense that today, let me settle the matter with God. And you say, Lord, I'm calling on you. Do something new with my life. Let's take any position of prayer. If you kneel down, if you stand up, anyhow, let God hear you pray. Let the Holy Spirit see you call on God today. Let heaven hear your cry and say, Oh God, I saw you are helping others. I saw you are changing other people's lives. Tonight, Lord, don't forget me. Don't forget me. Don't pass me by. I am coming to you. When Hannah decided to hold the horn of the altar, she never went back until her baby was given to her. Whoever seek me diligently will find me. When Jacob came to the end of his efforts, Esau was waiting to kill him and kill his children. That night, he said, oh God, if you don't bless me, I will not let you go. That was the night God changed Jacob and he became Israel. There was always one night that God steps into a man's life and changes him completely. Please take your position of prayer. We will take a bit of time to cry to God tonight and say, Lord, whatever you must do to me, whichever way you will walk in my life, I am standing, I am kneeling, I am lying at your feet. Oh God, I'm holding you at your feet. Do something new with me. When the apostles saw that they can go nowhere again, if God will not come down, St. Andrew will chop them. They cried until Pentecost came, until God came upon their lives. If we became desperate, if we also don't have alternative, God is going to answer our prayer. God is going to visit us. God is going to do a new thing with us. God is here. He said, I will be fond of you. Enoch called on God. Enoch sought God. Once he gave his life to Christ at 65. 300 years, no looking back. 300 years, no looking back. No up and down. God was helping him. God can help me tonight. God can help you tonight. God can change your own story tonight. The spirit of prayer, the spirit of revival will fall upon us. We are going to see a new move of God in our congregation. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, we are here. Jesus, Jesus, we are calling on you. Where do we go? That hymn writer say, where should I go? Where should I go? To whom shall we go? My soul is needing a friend. I need a touch. I need the glory and the power of God to descend on me. Where should I go, Lord? Where should I go but to you, Lord? My young sister, see how you have been disappointed. Somebody has jolted you. That person just deceived you, disflowered your life, and has abandoned you, and you are looking miserable. Jesus said, come back. Come to me. I will give you rest. Come, stop crying. Just come to me. If you seek me, I will be found of you. I will correct the matter. I will reset your life. I will reset it. God can do it as he promised. Please call on God tonight. Don't be quiet when God is saying, but you are not calling me. You are not seeking my face. Oh Lord, let the outpouring of your spirit come. The day of Pentecost came because they were desperately waiting. They could not go anywhere because there's nothing else to do. But when you came, things changed for them. Lord, come for me. Come for me, oh God. Come for me. Come for me again. Come for my life again. Come for my life again. Do something new with us. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, please come. Holy Spirit, please come. Holy Spirit, do a new thing in the meeting of your people. Holy Spirit, let there be the spirit of revival. Let there be revival that will break forth in this congregation from this meeting. Let all those who came, even those who just came from other towns, other cities, they must be going home with the fire of revival. Something new must be happening in our heart, oh God. Enoch never remained the same again. Enoch never remained the same again. And for the rest of his life, for the rest of his years, he was not an unstable Christian. Please pray with me. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, please have your way. Lord, please move in your midst, in the midst of your people. As you did on, please come again. Show forth yourself, show forth your glory, show forth your power in answer to the cry of your people, in answer to the cry of the church leadership. Lord, come to us. Set this church on fire, that from now on we can't remain the same again. All our fellowship will turn, all our meetings will change. We will see God doing a new thing again. And all difficulties, all troubles, all sinful behaviors, Lord, you will wipe them off. You will start afresh with us. Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Your touch, Lord. Touch me one more time. Oh, Lord. Oh, to start something afresh with you. Wherever you touch, are. I will want to now stand together with you in prayer. And if the Lord is touching, I say, come to look at it. I cannot pinpoint when my life started again. I have fallen and risen so much I don't know where I started again. And God is saying, I can touch you again. So I will give you room. All those that God is saying, even in this final night of this meeting, let's settle the matter. You want to stand? You want to come? You want to just sit down there and say, God, whatever you are doing to people, please do it for me tonight. Those that want to come to the altar, please walk up to the altar. Those that cannot come to the altar, but they can only lie down before God, just do it. Let's pray together. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. If you are coming to this altar, please step out quickly. I need the touch of the Master. I need the touch of my God.
Touch me, Lord.
Touch me one more.
God bless you. God bless you.
Oh, Lord.
God bless you.
Lord, I need.
Even if you have to just come, if you just even have to just crawl out, even in your tears, God is going to help us. Even in your brokenness, God is going to help us. I want to tell you, the devil may think he has damaged you, but of God is going to restore you. God is going to bring that plan out. God is going to finish what he has started. Thank you. Even if you are coming in tears, God will wipe away your tears today. God will end it for us. Anyone who needs to stick up, please step out. God bless you, my dear brother and sister. Just come in. Just come. God bless you. God bless you. You say, I don't know. I thought I started, but I don't know why my life is scattered all the time. I thought I had made it right with God. I don't know. I don't know. But this night, God is saying, come, let's settle together. Let's end the matter together. Thank you. God bless my brother. Thank you, my sister. Thank you.